Hey there, everyone. This is Luke with Top Ends with Twins. I'm sitting here next to Paul. Paul, say hi to everyone.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Top Ends with Twins.
We are so happy to have you all back with us today because there's lots of stuff to cover. There's been a lot going on in FPL at the moment. Some of us on the podcast have been doing incredibly well, and some of us have been doing incredibly bad. So we're going to dive right into that here on the pod. But to give you all a heads up of what we're going to cover this week in the podcast, we're going to be doing a fun game of buy, hold, or sell. We're going to go through a couple different categories and talk through what we think about these specific players that we're, you know, potentially buying, holding, or selling. Little narrative on the FPL template that is forming that doesn't sit so well with me, but we'll see what Paul thinks. And then, you know, kind of just bounce around and see what we end up on. So with that, how about we dive into how game week 26 was for you, Paul?
Yeah, so guys, I had probably my best FPL week of the season. And that actually started out with, I had Glasner as my assistant manager this week. And the assistant manager chip, let me tell you, I played it where I had David Moyes, then I pivoted to Emery, and then lastly, like I said, to Glasner, and it's worked wonders for me. I mean, it's really helped balance out the Salah triple captainers for me, which is awesome. Like, I love having the triple captain in my back pocket with some of the doubles left available. Could be a huge rank gain for me because I feel like a lot of people have probably used their triple captains at this point. I don't know the exact stats. I don't have it in front of me, and I'm not going to look for it and delay the podcast. But so this week I ended up on 108 points. And the craziest part about that is that I always say his name wrong, but I took Szoboszlai out. Actually, I said that right, Luke?
Good job there. Yeah,
you got it. Fuck yeah, I'm so smart. But so I took him out and also took out Kai Havertz for Cunha, which that was a really good transfer. Love that one. But taking Szoboszlai out, I brought in Ethan Wanneri for Arsenal. If I would have left him in there, I would have been on probably, I think it's 118 points this week.
I understand portions of that transfer, just to maybe quickly provide an unsolicited opinion, because Wanneri was popular. He looked really good in their game week 25 fixture.
Against Leicester.
But one major perk there is you do get him to cover the double, the blank, I should say, in 29. So having that, taking Szoboszlai out, who's going to blank, it makes sense. And you never know how that City fixture is going to go as well. So I think I wouldn't be too hard on yourself on that because Szoboszlai has not really returned too much as of late.
Yeah, and so for the rest of my game week, really, it was Lewis Hall, Isak, and then, of course, I had Captain Salah this week, too. So, and then Mbomo also really performed. And I got a clean sheet out of a Brighton goalkeeper with Verbruggen again. So,
yeah, I'm
crazy.
Good. Congratulations.
Crazy. But easily my best, probably easily my best week of the season. I know that, let me see, this week, my rank this week was 33,000 in the world.
Wow, that is incredible. And that
dropped me down to 1.3 million.
Shoot you up the ranks. That is definitely the kind of week that you needed, Paul. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's great. Everybody prepare yourself. We're going to hear about Luke's game week now.
Let's keep this nice and brief. Because as far as I'm concerned, all eyes to the future. I had a game week total of 56 points. I captained none other than Kluivert, who ended up blanking, so I get a solid 2 points from him.
It was a bold move.
It was a bold move, and I'm going to be honest. I thought it was a good pick. It felt good to me. Wolves have been, they've been better since Pereira has gotten there, but Bournemouth have been one of the standout teams this season. And the red card from Zabarini, that absolutely killed the captaincy as soon as it happened, right? Kluivert was getting a couple good chances. He probably should have scored. Semenyo played him through and he had a little, you know, chance to tap it around the goalkeeper, but Jose Sal did a great job of closing down the angle and he just couldn't get around him. But my captaincy completely missing there, and then Salah coming up with a goal and assist, three bonus points. Instantly, I'm buried, but I don't have Isak. Isak went for a brace. I have Gordon, and Gordon managed nothing out of four Newcastle goals, and he had some really good chances after watching back the highlights. You know, missed cross here. Someone decides not to play him the ball. There's lots of things.
I saw that one live, and I was like, oh, Luke's soul is dying in this moment.
Yes. Two of the bright spots in my team, I did have Munoz for his 13-pointer. Really happy to have that. And then I had Cunha, who I transferred in this week. I took out Gakpo for Cunha. So really happy with those. But I was on the fence. I decided to keep Rodgers and Watkins because I kind of like that fixture at home for them, with them playing Chelsea and both of them blank, right? Early subs, and it would have been the proper time to move on before that. So you live and you learn, but a very poor game week. I'm now down to 2.1 million overall.
He did say it.
And I've just, ever since game week 19, I've just been hovering around the 2.1 to about 1. I mean, I got down to 1.5, and now I'm back up to 2.1. So I really need to kind of restabilize my team, and it's time for me to start using some of those transfers I've built up, because some players just, it's time for them to go and bring in some new blood. So
we really got to start preparing for the... Probably should have been preparing. Like, I kind of did this a little bit last week. That's kind of the reason Spotlight came out, for the blank in 29, because I think fielding a full team of 11 players in that window is just going to be huge anyways.
It will be.
I think 10 works too also.
Sorry. Especially because you have Villa blanking, you have Palace blanking,
Liverpool
and Newcastle. All four of those teams they have popular assets that I would wager almost every single team out there has at least one or two assets, you know, across the board there, with a lot of people having probably six or seven from those teams. Whenever you throw Isak, Salah, Trent, Konate, Rodgers, there's just so many great assets out there, right? So I think, like Paul is saying, getting in as many players as you can for that blank is going to be really important. So that's something that we all want to keep our eyes on going forward. Do you have any other thoughts from the game week, Paul, that you wanted to share with the listeners out there?
I think we've covered a lot of stuff in our teams. The really disappointing one to me, of course, is just seeing Chris Wood get another return. I don't even care if it's just an assist. I'm so tired of this motherfucker. Like, I realize he's having a career year and it's great for him, but from FPL, like, I just haven't ever been a believer, and that's just me being stubborn against him producing week in and week out.
My thing with Chris Wood is I know the second that I bring him into my team, he's going to start blanking. Yeah. And that has probably kept me from bringing him in from like game week 13 on or something like that, because I'm like, now's the time when it's going to stop. But he hasn't stopped, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's a little self-reflection I probably need to do, is saying why am I really not bringing him in, because he keeps ticking away at the points. He's like Harry Kane as of 2 years ago, right? Yeah. Where it's like he's not having these massive hauls every single week, but he's getting you a goal, he's getting you an assist, he's getting you a goal and assist, and he's doing it from one chance a match. So it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, the reason, another one that hurts too, is the Liverpool clean sheet. I just, notwithstanding that I wanted Liverpool to lose, but I just hate seeing them get clean sheets, especially when they're playing like an attacking team like City. Like, for people to get the Trent, Konate, Van Dijk, and Alisson clean sheets just kind of sucks. But hey, it is what it is. But overall, I think a really, really good game week for me. And also, I think, Luke, I mean, You have the tools to change your team going forward. So I think it's kind of the reason to play this game.
It is.
Gotta be adaptable.
Part of the thing here too, I think this will kind of pivot us into the template portion of the podcast that I wanted to dive into a little bit. I am not at a loss for what players I want to bring in, but I have so many changes I want to make in my team. I'm looking at making, I mean, going into game week 27, I had 4 free transfers. I used one last night, and I would ideally like to use 3 more free transfers before the deadline tomorrow. So we're filming this the night of the night before game week 27 deadline. So Monday night.
Yes. So that deadline's going to be, is it 1:30 Eastern?
Yes. And then, so that would be 6:30 British Standard Time, I believe.
Let me see, actually. I think it may be 6 British time.
Oh. Well, did you say?
Let me see. I'm looking.
Okay. Well, I'll
yeah. So the deadline is 1 o'clock here.
Okay. So it'd be 6 British Standard Time. Yeah. Okay. So where I'm struggling at the moment is I don't think there are a lot of really great assets. It to me, it feels like there's a lot of players out there who could potentially be ready to take off and go on an extended run. For example, Mateta was a player that I brought in going into game week, I want to say 20, 21.
Probably your best transfer of the season.
Without a doubt, right? He's kept me treading water this entire time. I did bench a 13-point haul, but we don't have to talk about that. Logistics, I don't know why I brought it up. God. Okay, back on topic, though.
What the fuck was that?
It was, you just heard my thoughts moving from point to point. So what I'm thinking, though, is that there's a lot of players who are in a similar position to what Mateta was before I brought Mateta in.
I see what you're saying. Like, you because see a lot Mateta of was, high upside there.
Mateta was really pre him returning is when I brought him in. I think there's a lot of players in that position now, and it's hard to disseminate which ones are going to be the right pick to go with. And I'm going to have to roll the dice a little bit because with Liverpool, Newcastle, Crystal Palace, and other one, who's the other one blinking? One, which team is blinking? I got it.
Bournemouth. Is it Bournemouth? No, it's not. It is...
Oh, Villa. Sorry, Villa. Yep, no. With Villa also blanking, those 4 teams that I just mentioned, I feel like I'm very limited in the options I can bring in to my team. With that field being narrowed down, it's still really difficult to find the best players to bring in because I don't love the fixtures for some assets that I would really like. Right, like Chris Wood, for example. I don't love that
horrible run of fixtures.
He has Arsenal at home and then Man City at home after that. I could see him scoring goals, but do I want to bring him in for those? Not necessarily. So with a lot of players, I just kind of go down the list, right? Where it's like, I kind of like the possibility here, but I kind of like the upside of some Spurs players. Right. I do not mind bringing in a Spurs player if I feel like it's a good pick, but Man City at home, Bournemouth at home, Fulham away, those are kind of difficult fixtures. I just don't know if I want to be going there quite yet. So I feel like my options are very contained, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I agree with you, Luke, that I think that you're seeing like earlier in the season, we had periods of time where it was like, there's really not a template because there were so many options. And now with like Haaland essentially being hurt, with certain assets being out of form that were very valuable earlier in the season, it's kind of a time where, I mean, and with the blanks and all the stuff you were just discussing also, that it's just really tough to find those assets that are consistently returning. And that's where the template comes from, you know?
Yes.
It's just people bringing in those players where they're like, you know what? They're going to give me a return this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's just part of the cycle of this game too, that I mean, you just have different, you have 100 million variables at any given time.
You do. I find too that I don't get bored with FPL in any way, shape or form. Bored with the captaincy selection. I hate perma-capting one player, right? It drives me crazy to feel like I have to captain the same player every single week.
You know what?
And Salah's to that point. But what this brings me up to is a little statistical breakdown here. Since January 24th, So 1 month from today, Cole Palmer has an XG of 0.71, and that's from 4 appearances in the Premier League. That does not fill me with any excitement for potentially captaining him. And that was my plan, right? I was really thinking Palmer's a great pick going into this deadline. They have Southampton at home. Southampton have been conceding the most XG out of any team over the past, since the beginning of February. They have an XGA of 9.16, mm-hmm. beating the nearest team by almost 3 goals allowed.
Yeah.
Southampton feels like a good pick. I just don't know if Cole Palmer's the right one to go with. And do I go against Salah against Newcastle? That feels like it would be very dangerous to do that.
Yeah, you're talking about a Newcastle defense that just gave up 3 goals also to Nottingham Forest.
Mm-hmm.
But a Newcastle team that's really hard to predict right now too. I mean, I think there's a situation where this midweek Newcastle could beat Liverpool 3-0. There's also a situation where Liverpool could beat them 5-0 too. I think this is a really hard one to predict. And they had, I think it was a, what was it, 3-3 earlier in the season?
I believe so. It was one of the better games of the season. That was whenever Isak just absolutely rocketed one into the near post.
Yeah, he made Van Dijk look like a training dummy.
That's one big training dummy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they make them that big, but I will be very interested to watch that fixture because, like you were saying, well, last time when they played in the Premier League earlier in the season, that was a very, very good fixture.
Yeah, and this one's at Anfield, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see which Newcastle team shows up for it. But yeah, I think the captaincy is tough. I mean, my gut also is going Palmer over Salah, but it's just, I really do want to go Palmer over Salah. We'll see what happens at the deadline for me, but it's going to be really tough to take the captaincy off Salah.
I also sometimes, in thinking about captaincy, I have got captaincy wrong so many times this yeah. season that I really just kind of don't trust my gut at this point is half the problem because it's burned me over and over again to the point of where sometimes I'm like, game week 38 is approaching pretty fast, and then we get to start all over again after that.
God, Luke, you can't be so defeatist yet. What I would say to that is that just keep it simple then.
Like, no, I get that.
If you think your captaincy choices aren't playing out well so far this year, well, then just play it simple until you have a week where you're like, this is an option that I really believe in. Because it doesn't, to me, it based on what you were saying earlier, it doesn't sound like you believe in Cole Palmer as a captaincy choice. You really don't.
I don't, but he also has a very specific skill set of annihilating lower tier relegation quality opponents.
Mm-hmm.
He does. And he has been one of the best players this season when playing at home. Based upon shots, goals scored, everything. So I could see them wanting some retribution after how poor they've performed as of late and really taking it to Southampton. But maybe they lose too. Who knows? I don't know.
We'll see. I'm completely torn. And my best advice to everybody out there is to play it as simple as you think you can.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. That's good advice because this is a midweek. There could be some potential rotation involved. It's something that I haven't really heard too many people talking about, but definitely keep that in mind when picking the players that you're going to be having in your teams. Make sure you're picking them for the long run and not just 1 or 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
because rotation could strike in this upcoming midweek in game week 27.
Yeah, and this is something that we're going to talk about more here a little bit later on. But, I mean, if you think about it, Salah has 285 points this FPL season as of right now. If you would have captained him the whole season, like you're good, you know? Like if you just mm-hmm. leave that captaincy on him, and obviously yeah. there's weeks where, I mean, you'd have more points if you're on Palmer or whatever, but like if you just left that on him, that's an extra 285, double of the points in your team. Sorry.
You don't want to do quick math?
My brain paused. What is it, 490?
I think so. Yeah. No.
470.
It'd be 590.
590. Oh my God. I got to do it.
570. Sorry.
Yeah, 570 is right.
Yep, 570. Paul just used a calculator. I did not, to clarify for those out there listening.
Well, actually, my calculator was never out. I was trying to get to it, and I cannot because my phone's annoying. But anyways, just think about that. I mean, if you just left it on Salah, I mean, imagine the points you'd have. Like,
I don't want to think about it.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But
I should think about it.
But I don't know. I think that kind of does bring a good pivot to us, Luke, to kind of talk about our buy or sell segment.
Yeah, let's go into it.
So first off, we kind of wanted to focus on three different categories that we're just going to talk about. And we're both going to kind of give our thoughts about whether it's a buy, sell, or hold for this asset. And the three categories are going to be the top owned assets and then the most transferred in this game week. So going into game week 27. And then the top scorers in FPL this season so far. So we'll start with the top ownership. And that's going to, do you want to go down the list? Like, you mean to tell it at the top?
We'll start out at the top. Let's go with Salah. So okay. Salah is currently at 72% ownership. Would you buy, sell, or hold Salah at this point?
He is a set and forget in your team until the season's over. And if you don't have him for some reason, get him in and leave him in. Don't touch him. And honestly, like we said a couple seconds ago, I would probably, the best decision is probably just to captain him and leave him for the rest of the season.
Yep. I'm fully on board with that one. Unless Salah is essential, should not be playing without him. If you are, then you want to join me in my overall 2 million ranks. So don't do that.
You could be a lot lower than that, though. But also another thing, too, though, is in saying that, the caveat is during a double game week, I think it's perfectly fine to captain somebody else over Salah.
If you feel like it's a good, viable pick, then go for it. I would not discourage someone from trusting their gut. The smart move, put it on Salah. He's playing at home in a, you know, pretty big fixture, right? Newcastle is going to have a bit of an edge to it. Newcastle are going to come in there and try to kind of, you know, establish their physicality, which really determines how they play and their intensity. So I would expect to see a lot of chances for Salah in this fixture, but I could also see Liverpool dropping some points as well if the right Newcastle shows up on the day.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree with that.
Next on the list, we have Cole Palmer. He's currently at 60.6% ownership. He has been slow, like the transfers out have been trickling up week over week. While I do understand the frustration that he has blanked over the past 3 to 4 or 5 weeks, he has not been playing very well. He has an incredible fixture run for the next two fixtures. Mm-hmm. Chelsea have Southampton at home and Leicester at home. Do not get rid of Palmer before those fixtures. I am telling you, he is going to have a massive week in one of these weeks, maybe both. So be very careful about transferring him out. That's my word of advice. As far as I'm concerned, he is a hold for the next 2 weeks, and then we reevaluate at that point.
I agree with you, Luke. And I think the big question, too, is like, if you're taking Palmer out, who are you going to get?
True.
Like, at the end of the day, I mean, like, the price point he's at, I mean, it would free up some budget. But, I mean, realistically, at this point in FPL, I think that, like, budget really isn't the issue. Because, I mean, the assets that are really performing, I mean, think about Kluivert or Chris Wood or Cunha. I mean, there's a ton of, like, Isak's a little more expensive, Salah's a little more expensive. But, I mean, you can build a team where the budget really doesn't factor in too much, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, just another note there.
So the next one on the list, Isak, he is currently at 57.9% owned. And this is where it starts to get a little tricky because Newcastle blank in 29. So we mm-hmm. are two game weeks away from approaching that deadline. If you look at Isak's returns, he has just been an incredible asset to have over the course of the season. I had him at the beginning of the season and then never brought him back in. So
yeah, that one's really hurt for you, Luke.
That's been really, I thought I could kind of hedge my bets there with having Gordon, and Gordon has just been, let's just say he's out of the team already.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's tough. I mean, Gordon just hasn't had the positive returns that he had last year. Like last year, especially at home, he was a goal and assist magnet. Like everything was basically honestly going through that left side, and he was creating goals, creating assists, doing everything. And this year it's just, I mean, he's still doing that, but the results just aren't there right now. So
no, they're not.
Good, it feels good like decision to move him out.
If he were to get a goal, then his luck would flip, but I'm not sticking around to wait for it to flip, unfortunately. Yeah. Especially with the double, with the blink. I keep saying double. With the blink in 29 coming up.
So do you think Isak is a buy, hold, or sell?
I think he's a sell. I would sell him going into game week 27, and I would use a transfer to bring him right back in 30. Or a lot of people are going to be wild carding in 30. He will be right back in the team because you want to have him for that double in 32. What is that? 30? Yep, in 32. Whenever they play Manchester United at home and Crystal Palace at home,
mm-hmm.
you will want to have him back without a doubt for 32. So yeah. Take him out now. Miss the Liverpool fixture is my recommendation. That will be a tough one. I could see him returning, but I also would be weary that that's going to be a difficult fixture. So,
see, Luke, I disagree.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Yeah,
I think Isak should be in everybody. I think he should be a stay if you have him. He should not come out of your team because, I mean, realistically, like, I think it's possible to work the doubles where you still have, like, I'm going to have two Newcastle assets in my team that are not coming out. So, Isak and Hall will not be going anywhere in my team. I've managed to play with it where I may have to take a negative four at one point to kind of get somebody in for the blank game week, okay. Which does that equal out? I don't know. Depends on how you want to play the game. But, I mean, he's fixture-proof in my mind. Like, I mean, think about this too. Cunha scoring against Liverpool a couple weeks ago. Like, this Liverpool team will give up goals, and they had a great performance against City. That's probably the best I think they've looked, maybe. Possibly. I mean, they looked really freaking good. But in saying that, I think Isak can return against anybody. And in my mind, that fixture is kind of a toss-up. So let's see what happens. Leave him in your team. Especially if you have money invested in him.
Let him. Yeah, that's a very good point. I was thinking about that as you were kind of talking about Isak there. A lot of people have a good amount of funds tied up in Isak. If you sell him, you lose those, and then you have to buy him back at a higher price point. Be mindful of that. What Paul's saying is very good advice, that if you are going to bring him back in and you're not going to wild card, if you can manage to get through the blank without free hitting and keeping him in your team, definitely try to do that. Because I, too, for my team, I'm going to have three blankers left in my team that'll just be sitting on my bench, and I'm hoping and praying that all 11 starters will be playing that week. So that's a good way to approach it. Or you can free hit that week in 29. And address that, get through it, and then not have to worry about preparing to make transfers for game week 29. So another option that people can think about out there.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Luke. Let's go to the next asset that we have on the list. Let me see. Do you have it in front of you, Luke? Sorry.
It is Chris Wood at 44.7%.
Sell, 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 sell it all.
Could have woodchuck wood if it was, sorry. My thoughts here, I think Chris Wood is, if you have him right now, hold him. I would not buy him this week going into Arsenal at home and Man City at home. But following those two game weeks, I could not get him in my team faster is how I'm approaching this. So I think he's a hold with a very clear red asterisk of a buy 2 weeks from now. That's how I see it. Some people might disagree, but if you have Wood, I would just hold on to him.
I don't disagree with you. Okay. I think that's good practical advice. I mean, at a certain point, 27 match weeks into the season, we have to recognize that he's an asset that's performing, and at the end of the day, making emotional decisions in FPL is never a good thing. So
no, it's usually not. But another thing I want us to think about here too, right? Whenever we look at as we were talking about earlier, there is a very clear kind of template that a lot of players are following at the moment. I think the most template front three is going forward from now is going to be Chris Wood, Cunha, and Isak. I think that front three is going to dominate a lot of teams. And it makes sense. Those are all great players to have. They're going to return all bonus point magnets. Chris Wood has one shot with like 10 touches and manages 3 bonus points every single time.
It's crazy.
If he scores a goal. So that's how the system's set up. He really benefits from it. Kind of crazy, as Paul is saying. But that front three is going to be really hard to break up. And I have a couple players I'm eyeing and targeting that I think will give me somewhat of a differential advantage to get in for the next couple of weeks. And then I might be moving to that template here in a little bit.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yep. So, okay. Let's look at our final of the top five for the most ownership in the game currently. We have Mr. Brian Mbeumo sitting at 39% ownership. I would say that Mbeumo going into game week 27, I would say he's a hold for one more game week and then sell him, because Brentford, they will play in 29. So if you're having issues fielding enough players, then do that, right? Keep him in your team all the way up through 29. If you have the luxury of not being worried about that, Brentford after 27, which they play Everton, and 28, they go Aston Villa at home, Bournemouth away, Newcastle away, Chelsea at home, Arsenal away, Brighton at home, and then Forest away. And that gets you all up to game week 35. I don't think it's necessary to keep him, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's a good asset, but he hasn't really been tearing the season up. He was in the beginning of the year, but it's kind of just steady return. So
I think he's had like influxes, you know?
He has. Yeah. Yep. I think there's other options out there is what I'm trying to say. So Mbeumo is someone who I would say is a hold for one more week and then sell following game week 27.
I honestly would leave him in my team, Luke. He's currently in my team. I would hold him. I think he's one of those assets too that, to me, he almost feels fixture proof at times, especially being on pens for Brentford. And this Brentford team, I mean, they've had kind of a weird season, you know, a lot of highs, a lot of lows, kind of some losses that they probably shouldn't have, but then also like really challenging teams that are probably out of their punching weight a little bit and talent comparison wise. But I don't know. I just feel like Mbeumo always shows up in these weird positions, and he just puts a lot of pressure on defenses. So I'm probably not transferring him out.
This is going to be a weird thing to say on the podcast, but I just remembered last night I had a dream and Thomas Frank was in it. It was like I was on a school bus and he was the bus driver, which feels very fitting that would be a role I could see him excelling in. Right. Huh. He I feel like he'd be great at that. You know, he retires after he goes to, you know, let's say Arsenal, or eventually ends up Manchester United, turns the club around.
Dude, you know what? He feels like a Barcelona manager.
I don't know if he's flashy enough for Barca. I don't think he'd like what else comes with the job, really.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, weird random fact there for anyone still listening at this point. So
yeah, that
congratulations
is
for making it to this point of the podcast. What we'll do now is we're going to go into the five most transferred in players for game week 27. And we'll rip through these really fast because we've kind of talked about a couple of these here and there. But the first one on our list with at the time of writing this down is none other than Mateus Cunha with 360,000 transfers in at this point. Cunha is someone that I really like, but first, let's get your opinion, Paul. What do you think on Cunha?
He's in the squad, and he's not going anywhere. He is staying put probably until he shows me that he's not going to score goals like consistently for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, looking at the fixtures, you could happily keep him around until 35. And I mean, in that run, they have Everton at home, Southampton away, West Ham at home, Ipswich away, Tottenham at home, Leicester at home. There's a ton of great fixtures in there. I think the main thing here, like Cunha, in my opinion, must buy. Get him into your team. Probably the best asset to have at the moment to bring into a team if you don't have him already. My concern is there's not a lot of other great Wolves assets to be bringing in. I could get a midfielder, I would be all over it, but there's not a midfielder that I trust. Oh my God. don't do that to me, Paul. Don't do it.
You don't want Ja Gomez for that spicy red card that he's going to get every other week?
I think I'll pass on that one. Okay, so we feel the same way about Cunha. He is a must-have at this point.
He's a sit and forget.
Okay, all right. So next on our list, we have Jared Bowen, the West Ham man. He has 220,000 transfers in. Bowen, spoiler alert, is someone who has already come into my Gaming 27 team. And guess who I kicked to the curb? None other than Anthony Gordon. Sorry, Gordon. Just hasn't worked out for us. It's not you. It's me.
Nice. Poor Gordon.
What do you think about Bowen, Paul?
I think he's a great asset. I mean, I've always been a Bowen stan. Like, I've always wanted him in my FPL teams. And this
he was
year,
in your game week one team, right?
He was. Because, I mean, we were both very high on what we thought West Ham would be at the start of the season. It did not turn out that way. But he's somebody that even in bad teams, he's going to score goals. He's just going to, it's kind of like in Bowen too. He's going to like show up from a wing position where he almost is almost like a nine at times, where he's just showing up like outside the 6 yard box. I mean, look at the goal he scored against Arsenal. I mean, that he scores an abnormal amount of headers for a winger.
He does.
He really does. He just kind of floats around the six.
He has great positional awareness. He's very similar to, I've heard Pep describe Gundogan, one of his best qualities is he knows when to make runs. And he just has this innate ability to make a run. Bowen is that. He's a striker who plays as a winger.
I would love if Arsenal got Bowen.
Yeah, I think that would be great. The problem is, you know, he usually plays on the right. Saka's on the right. And you have Wanneri as well.
I mean, he could be our third string winger. At the right,
he would be starting for you. I mean, there's no question. He would have to learn to play on the left.
Yeah. I mean, it would be possible, but I love Bowen as an FPL asset. He could possibly be coming in my team. I'm kind of like flipping back and forth between two different options right now about who I'm going to bring in for Rodgers. So TBD. I'll keep you all updated. Okay.
Yeah, definitely do that. You know, let everyone know your transfers before the deadline so that everyone out there can know.
Yes, but that's what I always do.
Okay, so Bowen, definitely a buy in our opinion.
Yeah.
Both of us think that. So next on the list, we have, as we previously just talked about, Brian Mbeumo. So we will not go into him because we've already talked about it. Fourth on the most transferred in list is no one other than Munoz. After his 13-pointer, he has 177,000 transfers in at this point in the week. I keep saying I'm forgetting the thousands. Apologies, everyone. He's a great option to have, and he's been probably the best defender to have in FPL over the past 5 game weeks.
He just drifts. He just kind of floats.
He does. In the wing back position that he takes up for Crystal Palace, that goal that he scored is so stereotypical of those lung bursting runs that he makes, and he ends up in these incredible positions.
Dude, but honestly, one of the worst examples of defending you'll see in the Premier League this season.
Oh, it was horrendous. Like,
it was literally just like, was that Basie, I think?
Yes, I saw that.
He just stops.
I immediately was mad at him for how he defended. And I have no vested interest in Fulham at all.
But I mean, still, like, still, honestly, from the angle he was at, a really good finish by Munoz to, like, roof that shot.
Yeah, it was a great finish.
Like, a great finish.
But he just shouldn't have been in that position.
So freaking weird. I saw the highlights and I was like, these Munoz owners, man, they just got so lucky.
Yeah, that was really crazy. But I happily took the point.
Finish. Still a good finish.
The craziest thing to me, he gets the goal, he gets a clean sheet, and he didn't get all three bonus.
Did they go to
Lacroix? Ends up getting three bonus with no goals and no assist. Right? That was really weird to me. You would think the bonus point system would reward you for a goal as a defender. And I guess it just doesn't. It's also how Crystal Palace play, but it's really weird. I think he's a good buy. I would be a bit hesitant, though, because of the blank game week coming up in 29.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a plan to work your way around that and you can get him in, I mean, Crystal Palace have Villa at home and then Ipswich at home before the blank in 29. Ipswich at home is a very, very juicy fixture for a team like Crystal Palace. So, and they're in great form right now. If you can get around it, Munoz in is a good transfer, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that. I mean, I think it depends on the layout of your team. Like, bringing in Crystal Palace assets at this time, if you're really worried about the blank in 29, probably not the most advisable. So it's all situational. But, I mean, if you have the ability, if you have a team that's laid out where you can go ahead and have them in, I mean, having Crystal Palace assets over the next, like, what, in 27 and 28... probably is a good differential play at the same time because people aren't going to bring them in.
That's one reason why Mateta has continued to be such a great asset for me is people, well, Munoz might be the outlier here because people are bringing him in, but people who are very strategically playing the game have avoided Palace assets for the blank in 29. So Mateta's ownership has not skyrocketed at all, which I have really enjoyed personally. So
yeah, I get that.
Happy to have that. The last option from the most transferred in currently is Kuru Mutoma with Brighton. He has 115,000 transfers in currently. Mutoma has two pretty good fixtures coming up. He has Everton at home, Villa at home, and then in the blank for game week 29, Brighton go to... Oh, wait, nope, sorry. Those are the wrong fixtures.
What are you saying? It's Bournemouth at home.
It's Bournemouth. Sorry, I was
Fulham
reading.
Fulham at home.
Brighton have City Bournemouth away. At home, Fulham at home, and then City away. Those are some difficult fixtures. I would not overly recommend. So in my opinion, if you have Mutoma, I would actually recommend to sell at this point because those are very difficult fixtures, and we don't know what to expect from Brighton week over week.
You know, Luke, I think, though, I may disagree with you.
Oh, very a little controversy.
Yeah, because I mean, I have a rule for myself that I established after taking out Anthony Gordon when he went on his run, because I transferred him out probably the 2 weeks before he had his two largest returns of the season.
Yeah.
After he had two consecutive weeks of returns, I transferred him out. And I looked myself in the mirror and I said, Paul, from here on out, if there's a player that has two consecutive weeks of returns, don't ever take them out.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
And I mean, I think there's a certain thing too that, I mean, Bournemouth have shown cracks over the past couple of weeks. Obviously, they've had a great season. They're a high quality team.
Right.
But you can still go at Bournemouth too. Like, they're not, to me, they're not a indefensible team that's like this impenetrable fortress. Like, they're a really good squad, but they're also not perfect either.
My counter to that, Bournemouth love playing against teams who try to pass through them. And Brighton, are, as far as I'm concerned, are probably going to try to do that. They're going to try to play, you know, quick little 1-2s, form triangles, use their box midfield, play through Bournemouth. And Bournemouth absolutely thrive on teams who try to play through them because their pressing is so strategic and effective when it's done right, that Brighton could have a lot of problems with Bournemouth.
Well, the reverse fixture would disagree with you, Luke, when Brighton won 2-1 in match week 12, which that was a long time ago, but it also does tell us something about the matchup a little bit. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we will. How about we take a little side bet for the pod here?
Yeah, let's do it.
What if, you know, put a little coffee maybe is a good thing to wager.
Fine, $5,000, you son of a bitch. Let's do it.
Don't know about that one. I will wager that Matoma will have... What's the line here? Because I feel like an assist is dangerous. Okay, I will say he's not going to have any returns in game week 27 okay, against Bournemouth.
We're betting a coffee on this.
Okay, yep.
Yeah,
write it down.
You got a deal.
Put it in the notes.
You got a deal. We got it on a voice recording. That's all we need.
Yep. Legally binding.
I don't know. But yeah, no, let's do it. I'm down for that bet, Luke. But let's see. So that's going to be it for the most transferred in this week. Do you have anything else you want to add to the most transferred in?
No, I think that's probably going to conclude buy, hold, and sell for us because we're going to do top scores, but pretty much the same thing as top ownership. So no need to beat a dead horse there. The final thing that I want us to go into real fast before we wrap up is talking about captaincy here. And I know we've kind of touched on this a little bit. Do you think that Salah is going to be the best pick for captaincy going into game week 27?
I mean, like we said earlier, Salah is just somebody this week, the rest of the season is going to be a really hard decision week in and week out to not pick him with a captaincy. Because I mean, I'm not even going to go into a rant about it, but he's just scoring those goals where it's like he's not involved and it just happens, you know?
Right.
Like it's consistently happening. So it's going to be really hard to pick against him. In saying that, if I had to go anybody else, I mean, like we said, Cole Palmer is a good option. I do think that there could be a couple Spurs asset against Man City.
Okay.
A Man City team that looks like they are absolutely just like trying to hand goals away at times.
So playing out the back. You think Son?
I could say Son or... Yeah, I'd probably pick Son just because he's on pins for them.
Yeah.
But that's a huge risk too. But a really spicy captaincy shout, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's transferring a lot this week, Jared Bowen against Leicester.
Yeah, Leicester really giving up a lot of goals. I like that pick, and Paqueta's out. So the assumption is that Jared Bowen is on pins currently for the next 3 to 4 weeks. So keep that in mind when making your captaincy picks. But, okay, yeah, I do like the Jerry Bowen shout a lot.
Yeah, I mean, besides that, I mean, this is a hard week to pick somebody not named Salah because there's not, like, any like, great matchups. I mean, I think Cunha obviously, like, could maybe be a choice, but I wouldn't do it.
Fulham at home is a little tricky because Fulham have been... They get beat by Crystal Palace, but they beat Newcastle 2 weeks before that. So you really don't know what you're going to get from Fulham. And I think that would deter me from I happily will have Cunha in my team, but captaining him seems a little risky to me.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you in that. Is there anybody else that I didn't mention, Luke, that you think could be a...
I think it's primarily a discussion between two players this week. Are you going to go Salah or are you going to go Cole Palmer? Those seem like the best options, in my opinion. Salah is going to be the best option out of the two. But Palmer, we know he has the tendency to return at home and against relegation teams. And this upcoming game week with Southampton at home, I could see him having a really big week, kind of bouncing back a little bit. He's probably getting some pressure from the fans, from the media. He would love to kind of, you know, batten the hatches down a little bit and get a couple returns, probably a couple goals, right? I'm sure he'd love that. So we'll see what happens. But captaincy, in my opinion, is kind of focused on two players this week between Salah and between Palmer.
Yeah. And I mean, it's I think it's really, at its essence, a question of where both these teams currently are right now. I mean, Chelsea are kind of in a downward spiral. They've really been struggling, and Liverpool just probably put in one of their best performances of the season. But both their fixtures this week, like, they're both going in different directions. Like the fixtures are counteracting exactly where the form is. So right. it really is tough. So I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not sure. I'm very indecisive when it comes to this right now.
Here's the thing about Salah. Looking at his stats, if we're looking at every competition that Liverpool are currently in, Salah has not blinked in 9 fixtures. So he either has a goal and assist or multiple returns. He has not blinked since January 18th. That is over a month, about a month and a week, where he has returned in every game that he's played in, whether it's Champions League, whether it's the Cup, whether it's the Premier League. He's just finding a way every single week. And that's hard to go against with his ownership and how people are captaining him right now. You're really playing a very dangerous game, and I absolutely got burned this week because I did not captain Salah. So,
yeah, so maybe heed those words of advice from Luke that it's possible, but the law of averages would say he's probably going to return this week.
We'll see what I do for my captaincy.
Luke's like, I want to touch the oven. I really want to touch the oven again. I know I burnt my left hand, but I think my right hand will be fine. I want to touch the stove again.
I'm slowly running out of hands.
You do have two, so
fingers maybe is something to say.
So. Yeah, yeah.
But I think that is going to bring us to the end of the pod. Paul, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
We didn't really talk much about chip usage because I think we've talked about it a lot in the last couple pods. But, I mean, we're getting to it now, guys. I mean, we're going into game week 27. There's 38 game weeks, so we basically have 11 left, if my math is correct. I know we're not statisticians on this podcast. Obviously, I can't even say the word. But, yeah, just make sure that you're going to utilize all those chips in the best manner. Because they can really change your season. I mean, that assistant manager chip is really, really fucking powerful. And make sure you're planning it out where you can maximize. I think using that around the doubles that are going to line up could be a huge swinging door moment in the season. So plan it all out.
Yeah, it definitely can be. There's a lot of fun to be had in FPL with all these chips still to play. Keep in mind, though, that play your own game as you're playing this, right? There's going to be there's going to be a template that says you should wildcard this week, you should free hit this week, you should bench boost this week. Maybe those plans are a good fit for you, but evaluate and try to see if it actually does fit what your team needs and go from there. So that is my advice, to kind of do your own due diligence with your team. Check in, understand where they're at, and then go from there. And if you need any help through that process, of course, feel free to reach out to us. Contact us on Blue Sky, X, Instagram, whatever works best for you. Reach out to us, and we're happy to help out however we can.
Yeah. And once again, guys, thanks for joining us. And like Luke said, we're here for FPL discussion. This is why we started an FPL podcast, because we love to talk about it. We love to just do anything with FPL. So feel free to reach out anytime, because we will be here.
Well, thanks, everyone. Have a good rest of your day. We appreciate it. Bye.